Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today my guest is Aslak Da Silva, and he's CEO over at Selfly Store. Aslak, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Adam, for having me. I've been listening to your show and I really love it.
All right, Aslak. So it's good to have you on the show, number one. And we're going to start this episode the way that we start them all with what we call our Mission Matters Minute. So, Aslak, at Mission Matters, our aim and our goal is to amplify stories for executives and entrepreneurs and experts. That's what we do. Aslak, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, from a Selfly Store's perspective, so I think we all hate queuing. So how to get conveniently whatever you need at wherever you are. So that's what we are solving, and that's our mission for Selfly Store. Personally, I'd say that on top of that, I really value leadership, and leadership is about people. So I just want to make the world better place for all of us to work in. So kind of that's something that I'm really passionate about myself.
That's amazing. Well, great having you on the show. And I guess just to get us kicked off here, like when did you catch this concept of leadership in your life to where you're like, you know what, this is something nobody's born a great leader. We all know that. But like, when did you take this as like, you know what, this is something that I want to be serious about. I want to be a great leader of people. Like, when did that begin for you?
Yeah, I think kind of my first career was in martial arts. So I was about 20 years practicing martial arts, teaching, fighting. I
Wow.
have about 100 full contact fights, and I was coaching in different countries, and then kind of seeing how the mental training affected
Was this at a
people.
young age, by the way? So when you say 20 years, was that like you started young, or I'm just curious when that
Yeah,
started?
I started when I was 12. So
Wow. Okay. So that was very young, that discipline and that. Go ahead. I just want to double
yeah.
check.
No worries. So I just learned, like, kind of saw the impact on people. Like, I think it requires a lot of mental strength to go into a full contact fight. So I could see that as a coach or a master, you can actually impact a lot on how people are feeling. Do they believe in themselves, and what the outcome is going to be? So I think that the seed of leadership started from there when I was like helping others, coaching others, as well as fighting myself. So I noticed this, that it's about people, it's about the kind of the feeling that's around it. When my kind of career ended, and as with many with injuries, so then I started my work life. So I just saw the same happening there, that you can make others feel good around you, your colleagues, and help them out, and then better things start to happen. So I think it came from there. And as in, when I got my first kind of team leader position, so I wasn't good at it in the beginning. I thought it's more like telling orders to people that they should do something, and
And that's where we all start, though, I feel, right? Like, that's like they get that. You're wearing the manager hat, right?
And I really kind of failed to keeping up the spirit, and then I started reading books, listening to kind of speakers, and end up in this business forum events. So Nordic Business Forum is from the Nordic countries in Europe, and they had great speakers from Sir Richard Branson to even the late Jack Welch and all these. So I started listening to them and what they talk about leadership, and I've just fell in love with those, that how you can help people to succeed. And so I started applying those principles that I learned and see what impact do they have on people. And it just got better and better. And so I just really got passionate about that. And I strongly believe that with good leaders and a good team around you, so you can accomplish a lot more. It's more fun to work with. So that's kind of my path for this, I'd say.
When did you so now you're thinking about leadership. You're obviously you're in your first leadership position, or you have a certain base of this. What do you think some of the like early and the reason I ask this question is because there's a lot of people that are going to be just getting started on just kind of getting into this thought process of leadership and what it takes. Like, what are some of the early tools that you just kind of came across and you were like, oh, this is interesting, or oh, this is like, what are, it could be books, it could be obviously shows, podcasts, things you use now, but I'm always looking for resources, that inspire people.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are plenty of different content that you can go for. For me, I think the biggest and like most impactful to start with were like Jim Collins's work, From Good to Great, to understand like what's the difference between good and great, and And the circumstances are the same, but for some reason, some succeed or companies succeed better. So just to understand the difference that you can make, those are all great. There are a lot of, I love Simon Sinek to Adam Grant, so who teach about like how to understand people. And in the end, leadership is about people. And there are a lot of diversity in people, so they're not all the same. So just like studying that and maybe even some sort of studying of sales and psychology, marketing, so understanding business. So often that also helps to understand people. And then kind of, I'd say leadership skills are the kind of plenty of very much plenty of content related to only leadership, but then general knowledge will help you a lot, because it's more about also to be able to talk with everybody with the same language that they have, be interested in what they're doing. So I'd say that anything you can learn is related to leadership, and in the end you can just benefit out of it.
And so now, just kind of, I guess, fast forwarding just a little bit to present day. I mean, we've just, you've led many companies. I mean, you have many leadership roles, and obviously you're CEO currently at Selfly Store. That being said, there's a lot of remote work now, right? The workforce has changed a bit. Like we're not all in person. We're not going, like the workforce itself has changed. Like how is that, how have you navigated this side of leadership from your role?
Yeah, I think for many of us, like the pandemic, COVID-19 just changed the game. For me, I've always loved remote work. So I believe that there's kind of there's different energy when you're working alone at home and then when you are with people, and you can benefit from that. So you cannot always be on the 100% with meeting people and doing a great job. Sometimes you just need to work alone. And I think those people who can do that alone and work remotely, so they have an advantage. But now we were all forced to this. So to me, it's still about a lot of on the communication. So what I noticed that during the pandemic was that there people prefer different modes of communication. Some just prefer like maybe a WhatsApp message or even GIFs or memes, and just to have fun and just feel that you are there for them. Some might prefer calling, some might want video meetings or even face-to-face meetings. So I think you just need to know your team members and what do they prefer. And I think the biggest issue with remote work is the how to spread the information and how to feel that you're united as a team. So you need this kind of, we have, for instance, every week an all-employee call where everybody's present, where we openly share from different departments what's happening and maybe even share more information that people would need. But that's super crucial part of that kind of feeling united. And then we have twice a year, like all hands on deck meetings where the whole team is flying to one country and we are spending time together. And then it's more about just being together and the personal relationships rather than the content itself. So you just need to balance it out in a way that I always say that whatever you can go over Teams or Zoom, use that tool. And when you're face to face, it's about people, meeting people and being together. So then kind of balancing it out and maybe having a bit more strategic approach of being there for people, chatting with them, calling with them, having even meetings with people that you wouldn't normally have, just to be present. So I actually believe that these tools that we have today are enabling more actually international leadership better way than ever before, because it's more common that you just have a call to today to USA and England and even China, and you can do it anywhere, anytime. So.
And you, and I think what's interesting as well from your position and what you do, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong at any of this, but I mean, your team, you have, you know, 15 plus nationalities, you're doing business in, you know, 20 plus countries. So you're all the concepts you're talking about, like this works across, you know, countries, borders, nationalities, right?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Yeah.
How does the inclusivity, like, how do you pull that off? Like, how does all this work together? Especially with inclusivity and like empowering your team when you have so many different cultures.
Yeah, I think that's a hard part. I come from Northern Europe where the organizations in general are flat, and it's like the hierarchy is not, it's not existing in a way. So people are used to talk up, and that's not going to be an issue. But there are cultures where just the opposite. So my father's from Sri Lanka. So from close to India. So their hierarchy is very important. And So it's to understand that there are differences from the start. But what I try to do is to meet one-on-one meetings with all of my team members. It's doable if you have up to 50 to 100 people, so then it's doable. But just to have the personal connection and talk about that and say that that you value these kind of candor, openness, honesty all the time, so that and I share examples of what I would hate. So I say that, like, I would hate that if I, for instance, have letters on my teeth and then I smile and then people are laughing at me. So I say that I want everybody to tell me about that. And it's not embarrassing, because it's embarrassing if I don't know about it. So
that's a great example. I'm going to use that one. Thank you. Slack, you just gave me a good one, because that's very relatable. And it's like, oh yeah, you wouldn't want to do that to somebody. You wouldn't want them to do it to you. So if you're doing something wrong, like, let me know. I need to know.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But I mean, out of those conversations, people start to learn what is okay and what's not. And then in the end, you kind of have your own company culture, and people are more open and honest. And similar, like, that's why I want to fly into team to be together for a couple of days, twice a year, so that we can just see each other in action and just relax and just find our own way of talking, the own language, and also building this culture. And and in the end, we are all humans, right? So it doesn't matter where we're coming from. So this is kind of like how the inclusivity starts building up, and then you can showcase to people. So I many times tell that when I have one-on-ones and I hear something. So in the all employee call, for instance, I say that, let's use you as an example. So I said, hey, I heard a great thing from Adam, so that this is what he said to me. Can you, Adam, continue on this? So I would put you there kind of as an expert who has helped me out, so showcase the others. So then you in the end feel empowered that, hey, you were actually correct and you can do this, and then you become more motivated and do the decisions. So just kind of finding these positive stories and helping out and putting people there in front of others and sharing the stories, individual stories. So I think empowerment is doesn't work if you say that you all of you can do whatever you want and it's going to be great. It's more starting from individuals, and that you pinpoint and say that, hey, Adam, you had a great idea. Why don't you continue with that? So then it brings kind of builds up your self-confidence within that culture that we have at the company. And that's how it starts building up.
Talk to me a little bit more about culture and like what that means to you, and like how you've like specifically for the company, because again, going through the diversity that you know, in your day-to-day operation of business, it's immense. So like, how do you keep a strong culture?
Yeah, I think the trust is crucial part of it, so that people need to trust that whatever is said is true. And again, coming from different backgrounds, the truth means different things. So not everyone is used to being hearing things openly and transparently. So but when you reach to that point that people start believing that this is true, of course there are things that you cannot share. As a CEO, you might hear something that's not shareable for the whole team, but they need to know that it's, if you're not sharing something, so it's not because of them. It's more like that something else is there that you cannot do that. So it starts from there. The other things I think is leading by example and doing things together the same way. For me personally, so of course, due to my martial arts background, for instance, that I still do a lot of training. So I, for instance, block from my calendar. I have two daughters who are figure skaters. So they train a lot. So they often have trainings from 3 p.m. to, let's say, 7 p.m. So I block that from my calendar, and I tell people that I'm going to train at that time, that if they need to reach me, they can reach me, but I would prefer to train and be with my family and watch my daughters train. So this way, kind of showing what's okay, what's understandable. But again, it comes to the communications, that it's explained to everybody what's happening and why, and then still making them feel that if there's something urgent, I said that I'm available. So talking about these kind of principles, kind of a code of work, code of line that we all share and understand. So that's where the kind of the company culture starts building up. Of course, there are other things like valuing input from others, how you talk in front of others, how you maybe say good things and compliment other team members. So those all start building the culture of how to work together. And I think it's a positive culture is harder to build, but it's more fun to work with than the negative culture. Like I had those experiences being a manager first time. So those are also part of a culture, but then wasn't much fun place to work in.
Mm. I want to spend a minute or two here, just kind of with the time we have left. And I mean, just tell us a little bit about Selfly Store and like what your vision is for that.
Yeah, so we work with intelligent vending, and so vending machines have been there for I think 2,000 years, and maybe we see those kind of old tobacco newspaper vending machines where you just put a coin and grab and go. But today, I think what we are doing is Selfly Store. So we are operating in Europe. We have more than 20 countries, customers in more than 20 countries. But we believe like that the kind of the latest developments with IoT, so Internet of Things, to machine learning, and even to artificial intelligence. So these tools actually now have created a world where we can predict the kind of the demand of consumers for each location, and that's what we're going for. So as an example, hotels will know who's coming, and then based on data that we collect from these 20 plus countries, so we would know that families, for instance, might crave something different than business travelers, or at night there's a different demand for supplies or even snacks than in the morning, as an example. And then using this information to just have the assortment ready for consumers, what they actually need. So that's enhancing the customer experience in many ways. And this is what we're working with. So kind of finding the location. So our operators then will use these machines that they buy from us, and then with technical tools, so they'll know what to sell at what time and even what price, so that the consumers start to get they're happy that the actual Selfly Store is next to them, and they get what they need. So kind of changing the world. So one example that I use often is that the kind of the food deliveries or other deliveries talk about the last mile delivery, but we would want to be the kind of the half mile store or half mile marketplace, that it's kind of close enough to you that you can go there, but it's not like at your home. But the feeling is that it's just for you. The assortment is there for what you are actually needing.
Yeah, and I seen on your LinkedIn, I know on your LinkedIn banner, there's some of the pictures of the store and the website and everything else, like the different machines, and they're beautiful. Yes, and I get the vision, and I'm like, man, I want one of those right down from me. Where's my quarter mile?
Yeah.
That's great. Well, Aslak, first off, it's been great having you on the show, getting to know more about you, your background, of course, your current training schedule now. You still got the training schedule with the family now, right? In history. So that's awesome. And love to bring these stories to my audience. That being said, if somebody is listening to this and watching this and they want to learn more about Selfly Store or even just to follow your journey, I mean, how do people do that?
Yeah, so of course our website selfiestore.com is one source of information. There are plenty of references and other things there. We are active on LinkedIn, so company page Selfly Store, and on Twitter sometimes as well. And I'm personally, like you said, quite active on LinkedIn, and happy to connect with anybody and have a discussion on leadership or in this intelligent vending machine, whatever that is. So I love learning, I love sharing what I've learned. So I'm always happy to connect with like-minded people there.
Amazing. And for everybody listening to this, we'll put all those notes in the and we'll put those links in the show notes so you can just click on the links. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with us, this is a daily show. Each and every day we are releasing new episodes. Hit that subscribe button. We don't want you to miss a thing. We have more executives, more founders, more entrepreneurs coming on the line. And again, we don't want you to miss anything. So hit that subscribe button so you'll get the notification each and every day. And Aslak, really, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Adam, for having me. Really appreciate it.